You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I forget on Fridays at 2 o'clock, that's the intro that comes back, and I'm like, what the... Okay, that's Ryan. All right, so we get that. Hey, it's the Eddie Fry Show on Valentine's Day. My name is Mike Elam. Joining us on the phone is the governor of the great state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. Governor, how are you, sir?
Mike, I'm doing great. How are you this afternoon? Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and Claudia. I'm sure you guys have big plans for tonight.
Well, we're working today at the Capitol. She keeps asking me, are we doing anything? We're actually... Now, Mike, tell me how romantic this is. It's actually a pretty cool deal. The Governor's Student Leadership Forum is in town this weekend, and it's college students from multiple universities all across the state. It's a faith-based kind of organization that works with kids that might be interested in public service someday. They bring them together once a year for a weekend here in Jefferson City just to talk about faith and values and ethics and all that, all those kind of things that you would want to consider as you possibly look at public life. So Claudia and I are going to spend Valentine's night with 90 students from multiple colleges and university in the Governor's Student Leadership Forum. So how, does that sound romantic?
I don't know that it ranks as romantic, but it's interesting. And it's something that I'm sure they're going to appreciate for the rest of their life, is being able to spend time with you and doing that.
It's a great group of kids. After 36 years of marriage, you know, it's not that we obviously love each other, but we don't have to go celebrate to prove it. How's that?
Hey, I would say after the last 2 years, if she's still with you, you're good to go, man. If she's gone through that, I think you're good.
That's legit right there. What you just said is right.
Hey, I'm sorry that we weren't doing this interview yesterday, because you were literally a block away from our studio opening up your brand new office here in St. Louis.
Well, yeah, and you know, really, I would say we're staying in downtown St. Louis. The state has had a presence at what you know is the old Wainwright Building. St. Louis will know that building, you know, for many, many years. I'm going to say decades, but it's been a long time. And because of some issues with that building that needed some significant work that probably wasn't a good return for taxpayers to do, state decided to sell that building, and Greater STL and a couple other private organizations are going to remodel it, which is great because it's a historic building. And we already had space in the old post office downtown for the Attorney General's office, Secretary of State, and then under the Lieutenant Governor's office, we have the Missouri Arts Council house there. So I said, you know, to Vivek Malik and Scott Fitzpatrick, our treasurer and auditor, you know, we're talking about really revitalizing and making sure people understand how safe it is to be in downtown and how we want public safety to be a major part of our message. Let's go to the old post office. So that's what we did. We announced that yesterday. I was super happy to have Treasurer Malik and Auditor Fitzpatrick with me to physically make a statement that we're not leaving St. Louis, and we're, in fact, we're staying right in the heart of downtown.
Well, you've got a little mini capital working with that many people sharing offices down there. So it should be efficient for taxpayers if they want to come see their government.
Well, that's the point. It's very efficient, and we let the reporters look at the office space yesterday, and they're like, well, this is pretty bland. And I said, well, listen, I'm in business. I've always felt like, you know, it doesn't have to be a boxing ring to get it pretty, and so to get work done. So we're it's very sparse, but it's efficient, and we can have meetings there and talk to economic development prospects. The treasurer and auditor have space to use, so it's meant to do what we can use it for. We don't have to rent space when we want to have meetings and whatnot. It's nice to have a home in a historic building that, as you know, is from 1884. There's 23 federally designated historic sites across the country. There's only three west of the Mississippi, and that's one of them.
Wow, that's pretty. I did not know that part. That is pretty amazing.
Yes. Hey, yep. It's a post-Civil War building. There was five built just like it. It's the same architecture as the executive office building, the vice president's house in our vice president's office in D.C. The other four buildings that were built like it in that time frame are no longer in existence. So it's the one of five that still survives.
You know, Steve Ellman would have known that information, and it's probably in his book.
Ellman was there when they built it.
I'm having coffee with him tomorrow. I'll let him know that part. Hey, I know you're tight on time today, but I wanted to talk to you real quick. I got a chance to go hear your State of the State. And to be honest, I was pretty amazed. And we've talked a lot over the last year of what you wanted to do if you were to become the governor. And you laid out a very aggressive plan, ambitious plan, bold plan for the state of Missouri. And I was like, man, I hope you get this stuff done. But I was curious, how is it coming along so far, in your opinion? Granted, you're only a couple weeks in.
You know, there's a carving here in the Capitol that says people will perish without a vision. You know, that's our vision. And we very much believe that this is a path that, number one, Missourians elected us to get accomplished. Because, as you know, we talked about this with you multiple times and others all around the state about what our priorities are going to be. And we've had a good start. You know, we, as you know, right after the inauguration, just 2 weeks before the State of the State, we signed several executive orders supporting public safety efforts. We outlined the rest of those efforts in our State of the State address a couple of weeks ago, and you've already seen action from the legislature. They've already had a floor debate, not finished yet, but at least started and got out of committee the crime bills in both the House and the Senate. Brad Crist from there in the St. Louis region has done a fantastic job of carrying it on the House side, and then Nick Shore from your out near St. Charles County area, along with Travis Fitzwater from Callaway County, are carrying it on the Senate side. So we're very happy with them getting that on the floor and starting to work through that. We think that's a major accomplishment to get our crime bill going, and accompanying that with the executive orders. That's, as you know, the foundation of everything else we want to get going on.
You know, you had a great speech when you did your final goodbye for the Missouri Senate on Inauguration Day. And one of the things you talked about is relationships and how having those relationships that you built in the Senate will last you for the rest of your life. And one of the things that I've noticed about you, because I've seen this throughout a lot of reps and a lot of senators' social media, not yours necessarily, theirs, that they post, you were walking around the Capitol and you were going to meet the House members and the senators in their offices and having conversations with them there. I'm sure this has probably happened at some point, but I don't remember a governor who's done as much of this as quickly as you have done. What's the key behind that?
Well, what I'm being told is it's been since Kit Bond, and that's no knock. I've been really good friends with other governors between Kit Bond and now, but it's been since Kit Bond that has walked the halls. And Mike, that's just my style of management. And, you know, contrary to social media, you can build relationships and not sacrifice your core values. Just because I'm walking the halls and talking to elected officials, some that agree with me and some don't, doesn't mean that I'm sacrificing my values. It means that we have to have a relationship to move certain agendas forward that aren't controversial. And there's a lot of those. I think public safety is one of those. I don't think public safety is a partisan issue. People want their communities safe no matter what part of the state they live in. So
right.
We really enjoy doing that. I spend an hour to 2 hours every day when they're in session just bopping around with no specific agenda. They're going to tell me what's on their mind, by the way, once they get over the fact that I walked in. They do have some ideas, and that's fine. I used to have a friend that ran, was the president of Ford Motor Company forever. He used to say, Michael, remember one thing, no is an answer. And so I said, yeah, I got it. So sometimes it's not always the answer they want to hear, but at least we work on developing those relationships.
You know, I think as you develop those relationships, it's going to get you the vision that you want. The thing that everybody always talked about when you were running is you've been that guy who's willing to have the conversations and have the relationships and listen to what people want to say. Listening, I think, is key. And I applaud you on the things that you're doing around the Capitol. I don't know that I applaud you on having 90 high school and college age students on Valentine's Day with your wife, but I appreciate your commitment to the youth of getting that.
The secret to making that commitment is don't tell Claudia until the cup of coffee this morning when she says, hey, what are we doing for Valentine's Day? I said, well, honey, we're going to be with the Student Leadership Forum. It's a great faith-based organization. And so, in all seriousness, Claudia, and you've met her, and you're like everybody else. Most people like her more than me. She very much is involved in what the future looks like. Not only do we have four children, but as you know, in just a month, we're going to have our first grandchild, my daughter's going to.
Congrats.
And so when we talk to these young groups, it's for more than one reason. I really do believe they're our future, and we need to make sure we give them the best advice on how to move forward to continue this great country and this great state, the opportunities that's afforded me. And so we very much like talking to these young folks and trying to make sure they see the vision that we have.
Well, Governor, I don't want to jinx it, but right now Jefferson City is working pretty efficiently. And I hope that keeps going. I hope your agenda continues to get through because the state of Missouri really, really needs it. And I appreciate you making some time on Valentine's Day to spend on the radio with me.
Well, Mike, I'm grateful for your leadership in St. Charles County and for your friendship. And we always are happy to be on and listen to talk to your folks on 97.1, and happy to be back anytime you'll have us.
Happy Valentine's Day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
That is Mike Kehoe, the great governor of the state of Missouri. He has really laid out a lot of things that are going to be tough to get done unless you get a lot of parties to buy into it. And I appreciate the fact Kip Bond was a guy who, Mike Kehoe and he are both very similar in the fact that they are people. And they walk the halls, they talk to people. I can't tell you how many state reps and senators that I've had conversations with since he became our governor that are just shocked when he walks into their office. And when he's talking about, you know, just bebopping around the hallways, he's not wrong. And that didn't happen before. We've had some really good governors in Missouri, but there hasn't been a lot of them who were willing to do that and walk around. You know, a lot of times when you get to higher elected officials, especially, they kind of get into an ivory tower. They get surrounded by people. They don't get out of their bubble. And if you don't get out of your bubble, you can get jaded on what people want done, how people want it to get accomplished. But when you walk into somebody's office and you sit down across the desk from them and you have a conversation and it's not your domain, it's their domain, they feel a lot more comfortable in telling you the way it really is. And one of the best things we can do with all of our elected leaders at every level is make sure that they're getting the true story. They really are understanding how things are on the ground. So I'm very optimistic of how things are going to be for the state of Missouri, how things are starting already. Ryan and I were talking about it earlier. The House is running really smoothly. That's not big news because the House gets a lot of stuff done quickly just because of the way that they are. But the Senate this year is probably working more efficiently than it has in 4 or 5 years. And that's saying something. They're getting bills done. The Republicans aren't fighting with each other this year. They're working together. They're debating on stuff, and that's fine. You should debate. You should have vigorous debate. And if you disagree, you should let people know you disagree. But they're doing it in a way that is productive. They're having conversations. They're working together. They're getting things done. And for the state of Missouri, that's huge. As long as they can continue to do that, having the governor work with the House, work with the Senate to all execute a shared vision is something that's going to be great for the state of Missouri. And they're on a lot of similar pages for where President Trump is. And right now, you've got the House and the Senate and the presidency all working well. Will this continue? Probably not. I mean, let's be honest. It's politics. But at some point, you know, the train's going to run off the track. But I'm just praying that we can keep this train on the track for as long as we possibly can, because the more they can continue to do this, the more they can continue to work together, the more we're going to be able to get accomplished. And God willing, the better off the United States of America is going to be, and the better off that the state of Missouri is going to be. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie Fry. I hope your Valentine's Day is starting well. Hope you got to go home early today. But if you didn't, hope you've got big plans for either tonight or later on this weekend. I'm one of those. I'm that guy, right? So here's confession to just the two of us as we're talking. I didn't get my reservations in for the places that my wife really wanted to go to dinner. I know. So I'm struggling. And I'm hoping that I can get into a restaurant later on tonight, and we're going to be able to do that. Which brings up, what's your Valentine's Day plans? That's our YouTube live chat poll. I have plans. I don't celebrate. I hate love. I just had to throw that in there to be that guy. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. Matt Polly on the other side.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lauryn Hill.
Yes.
But yes, I believe you're correct about the original.
I do like this song, though. Hey, it's Mike Elam. Happy Valentine's Day. Hope yours is going well. Happy Friday. Getting ready for the weekend. I'm still sick of winter, but, you know, that's how it is. So we'll see how things go. Wanted to talk a little sports. My friend Matt Pauly's on the line. Matt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, since it is Valentine's Day, I want to give you a good husband, good dad shout out. You were so nice with your social media post the other day because you were heading down to Florida. So you're down there with the sunny beaches. Congratulations. We're all very happy for you. But you were so nice to point out that your wife is holding down the fort with the family. And, you know, it's tough being in media some days. I mean, not for you, but for your spouse. It's tough being in media. You're gone a lot. You're doing all this. So we ask a lot of our spouses. So shout out to you for recognizing the greatness of your wife.
Yeah, I'm here for 4 weeks, and my wife is at home with a 5-year-old and a 7-month-old, and she's amazing. I would not be able to have pursued the things I have pursued professionally without her support, and yeah, I do very much miss them. I miss them a lot. It's tough to be away from them for 4 weeks, even just being on FaceTime with the 7-month-old. I see changes on an everyday basis, so I wish it could work out that I could see them a little bit more during this time, but my plight is nothing compared to what my wife is going through being back at home all alone.
Got to figure out a way to fly him down. You know, you got to negotiate that next year. Hey, I need a week with the fam on spring training. Like, we'll make that work out. Hey, spring training, I expected more news to happen, but it seems like we're probably not going to have a lot of news happen, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we got a little bit in the sense that Nolan Arenado is likely not to be traded and likely to be a Cardinal. You know, this is a really interesting kind of, you know, the arc of this story is crazy because it started at the winter meetings when John Mozeliak admits openly that the team intends to trade Arenado. And then a deal doesn't get done, and we find out that there was a deal in place that Arenado blocked because he's got a no-trade clause. And then we get to winter warm-up weekend, and Mo basically says plans 1, 2, and 3, or goals 1, 2, and 3, whatever the exact terminology that he used was to trade Arenado, and it still doesn't happen. And then we get to spring training and the first media conference of spring, and Mo makes it very clear that their intention is still to trade Nolan Arenado. And then Alex Bregman signs with the Red Sox, and there's nowhere for Arenado to go. And the next day, Mo says Nolan Arenado is our third baseman for the foreseeable future. So, really a wild, wild journey that we've been on. And I guess it's kind of been like being on a track because we're basically right back to where we started.
Yeah, it's kind of, hey, despite all the headlines that we saw over the past few months, nothing's changed. And we don't expect that it's really going to, at least from that front.
Correct.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No.
Well, no, I was just going to affirm your point.
So tell me about, how do you think this team is going to be? I ask that question as a guy who doesn't really follow all the ins and outs of everything that's going on, especially at spring training. But everything with a Cardinal fan, especially for the last 2, maybe 3 years, has just been heartbreaking. Do you think that perhaps there's hope? I mean, spring training, we're always hopeful, right? But do you think there's justifiable hope for this year?
Yeah, so bear with me. This is going to be a long answer. First off, heartbreaking, I think, is a little. They were a winning team last year. They were not a postseason team. It was a failure in the sense that they did not get to the playoffs. I'm not trying to say that was okay.
I'll rephrase and say, from a St. Louis expectation standpoint,
okay, that's
fair. It was heartbreaking because it's different here. Can we agree on that?
Yes, we can agree on that. And I would argue that the ceiling for this team and the floor for this team are about as wide of an expanse as any team has.
To be determined,
If nothing goes right, if the offense does not come around, if they look the way they looked last year from an offensive standpoint, if the relief pitching takes a step back after being so good last year, you're talking about a team that's got a win total in the low 70s, which is terrible. However, if the bullpen, which is largely the same without Andrew Kittredge and also with some young guys ready to step into some big roles, if they replicate what they did last year, if some of these young hitters who the Cardinals really believe that they can get on track, like Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, if those guys take steps forward and our middle of the order run producers, if the rotation does just honestly what it should do, really with the top three guys with Gray, Fetty, and Pallante, if those guys are all pitching at a high level, then I can see this team winning 87, 88, 89 games and being a playoff team. So it is a really, really wide range of what the results could be this year.
Well, at the end of the day, it really comes down to the fact of how is your division, right? Because you don't have to be the best in the National League or the best in the majors. You just have to be the best in the Central to be able to get to postseason. So if you look at it from that window, do you feel better about things?
Yeah, and also, you know, they expanded the playoffs a few years ago, so you don't even need to be best in the Central. You can be they've got so many playoff teams now. You can get in with a record that is just barely above 500. In fact, there is going to be a point in time where you've got a 500 club right there in playoff position when things are kind of wacky and you've got some top heaviness going on. That's how many playoff clubs you have right now. So,
well, it works for the NFL and the NHL, so why not the MLB?
Yeah, I think the only difference is historically baseball hasn't had that many playoff spots, and winning the division was always a really, really big deal. And even just going to the single wild card when it was four teams from each league. So that's the difference from a historical nature. But Rob Manfred is a smart business guy, and he realizes that they make most of their national TV money on their playoff package. So if you have more playoff teams, you have more playoff games, and you have more playoff games, you have more money, and none of the owners are going to complain about that.
So that gives us hope to where we may be able to what you're talking about, actually get there. I grant you this is a novice opinion, but in listening to you talk and looking at from what I've heard and them saying, we're basically going to take a flyer on a whole bunch of young guys this year. It feels a little Moneyball-ish to me. Like, can I get rid of those big salaries? Can I get rid of these older players? And can I go back and pick up those hits, those runs? Can I do that at a cheaper price? Am I being too, I don't know, is the comparison fair?
I think it's more about, because the Moneyball thing is about going and getting veterans at a low price and, you know, trying to find some things that they do that can help you win that's not valued across the game. What's going on here is, you know, guys have a lot of time where they're cost controlled before they start making big money as free agents. When you come up as a minor league player, you've got a few years where you have zero control over how much money you're going to make. And then you have a few years of arbitration where you're going to get some raises, but you're still not going to get paid market value. That's what we're talking about with young guys like Gorman and Walker. These are young guys who are cost controlled, and the expectation is that they perform well. Now, every team has young guys that are cost controlled. The way you win at a high level is by developing high-end talent. And if they do it early on in their careers, you're not going to be paying that much for it. And I like to remind folks, because a lot of people are very negative on Walker and are very, very negative on Gorman, it wasn't long ago that these guys were considered two of the top prospects in baseball. And they weren't considered two of the top prospects in baseball by the St. Louis Cardinals. They were. But more importantly, it's the third-party publications. It's the Baseball Americas. It's the MLB Pipelines. Those are the people out there that are saying these guys are kind of can't miss talent. The Cardinals have not done their job in developing them all the way, and that's what they're trying to do now. But there is legit reasons to believe that guys like that have a lot more in the tank that they have yet to show.
Hey, Matt, Ethan Hannaford here. My concern, I think, when it comes to this team is it feels like, I don't know if John Mozeliak's necessarily had to walk it back. As you mentioned, you know, some young guys are still going to get opportunities, but because of some of these guys, to be quite frank, not getting shipped away as we initially thought they would. Nolan Arenado's the biggest one. We know very early in the offseason it was made clear that Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras did not want to be traded. And then you have a starting rotation full of five guys that, I mean, excluding Andre Pallante, it's not very young. Now, I guess there are, you know, there are chances for someone to always get hurt. You know, the trade deadline will eventually get here. But it feels like because of some, you know, contracts that the Cardinals find themselves stuck in right now, it kind of hinders that youth movement a little bit and kind of has them stuck in between this. Are they going for it? Are they going to try and put something together and be a decent team this year? Or are they really going to focus on the youth? It feels like they're kind of stuck in neutral, in my opinion, Matt.
Yeah, stuck in neutral, stuck in the middle, whatever you want to call it. The team is very similar to what they were last year. I think the difference that they're going to tell you is that it's about the opportunity, or the word they've used a lot is runway. Jordan Walker doesn't have to worry about being sent down to AAA Memphis because he's had a week of hitting 100, striking out twice a game. Nolan Gorman, after a month of hitting 187, striking out 2.5 times a game, he isn't going to be worried about going to the bench. So those are the young guys specifically who are being given that runway and everything. But to your point, if you want this to be the year that you really find out about guys, well, how do you find out about Michael McGreevy when your top five guys are Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, Miles Michaelis, and Steven Matz? If Thomas Tajaisi is someone that you really believe in and has a high ceiling and got a taste of the big leagues last year, but you can't just sit him on the bench and get him one or two games a week, well, how do you do that with Nolan Arenado on the roster? The biggest loser in Arenado being here, and just loser in terms of like opportunity, is Thomas Tajaisi. I'm not convinced that Tajaisi is on the roster, so there is a... That hinders the team from learning everything that they would like to learn about a Thomas Tajaisi.
When you look at this starting five, I guess you technically can't say that it is set in stone that this is who it will be. Obviously, the Cardinals have had their misfortune here the last couple of years when it comes to injuries in spring training, and we know that there's been a history, of course, with Steven Matz specifically. But, you know, you could also, I think, perhaps make the argument that maybe a Steven Matz is a better potential bullpen fit, just based off of the thought of maybe being able to preserve him a little bit better, I guess, for health purposes. Is there any, could you see Oliver Marmol and this coaching staff getting creative in their ways to find opportunities for some of these young guys to still get opportunities to get starts on the mound?
I think somebody has to create an opening. Steven Matz goes to the bullpen if Matz doesn't pitch particularly well in spring and McGreevy throws the living you-know-what out of the ball, and you're still going to keep Matz on the roster, so you go to the bullpen. But if Matz has a nice spring, he's going to be in the rotation for sure. Now, could they go to a six-man rotation if McGreevy's really good? I think that's a possibility, and I'm not against a six-man rotation. I've covered some teams in my career that have gone to a six-man rotation. I mention this all the time. When I was covering the Brewers one year, the year that Corbin Burnes won the Cy Young Award, they went to a six-man rotation that year, and while it did limit the number of starts for someone like Burnes, and I know it always it's going to stick with you a little bit when you're taking starts away from somebody who's really good, what it also did was it allowed those pitchers to go deeper into the games because they had an extra day of rest each time through. And I think it's the Mets have already committed to a six-man rotation, if I've got that right. There's some other teams out there that are flirting with it. So a six-man is possible. It's also incredibly rare. I should probably do the math on this. I bet it's less than half of teams in baseball that come out of spring training with their projected five starters all healthy.
Sure.
It is a very high probability that at least one of your starters, if not more, is not able to answer the bell for opening day.
Talking with Matt Pauly. Matt, how long before the game start?
Next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. So the schedule here, it's been pitchers and catchers working out officially. Now, a lot of position players have already arrived, and there's been some live BP sessions with some of those hitters. So it's not like no hitters have been here, but they don't have to be here until Sunday with the first full squad workout on Monday. And then once you get to Saturday, that's when Grapefruit League action begins.
Well, I know a lot of people like to go down to spring training. I've never done it. It's on my bucket list. I want to go to spring training, and I want to go see some games. If somebody's coming down, What's your best advice of the best way to enjoy spring training? Like, what games should you try to go see, and what should you do while you're down in the area?
Yeah, it might be a little late on this one unless you can really do a quick turnaround, but I honestly think that this time of year is even better than some of the games because you can go back to the backfields and you can watch the things that are going on. You know, most people know what a baseball game looks like, but do you know what it looks like when live BP is going on? Do you know what it looks like when Ozzie Smith is coming out to work with the infielders? Do you know what it looks like when a team is getting ready? You know, that might not be something that people want to do every single year, but this time of year, I think, is really interesting to watch a team come together. And there's just a lot of access. If you're somebody who wants to get autographs and things like that, you're able to get pretty close. So when guys are walking off the field, but once Grapefruit League games begin, there's not a bad day in Jupiter, Florida, and the Abacoa neighborhood where Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium is. It's a great neighborhood with lots of restaurants and bars and other things that are going on. So the Palm Beach is over. Overall, this is the best part of Florida for me, without a doubt. I love the Palm Beach area, and that's where we're lucky enough to be able to watch Cardinals baseball in the spring.
Matt, you mentioned kind of being able to get a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look on some of the backfield, some of the work being done. I'm curious, you know, one of the big things this offseason for the Cardinals was adding to the coaching staff and giving, you know, Oliver Marmol a few more tools in his back pocket to be able to use to work with players. Have you been able to see any of those exchanges or any of that work being done with some of those new coaches that's going to be beneficial for the Redbirds?
Yeah, it's hard for me to say that I've seen, but you know, that in action, because you don't really know what's different from other years. But I know what Oliver Marmol has said here recently, and he has said one of the best things about this year's spring training is everybody who's been there before has a little bit less on their plate, so they're able to be more intentional on the stuff that is on their plate. And also, Ollie has said that, you know, in past spring trainings, every second of his day is accounted for on a schedule. And now there's some open pockets on his schedule that is just kind of there for him to do whatever. So if he sees a guy that he wants to connect with individually, anything like that, he now has time on his schedule to do some more one-on-one and individual type stuff. And that is very much connected to the beefing up of the staff. And, you know, there's probably people who are listening right now who are kind of shaking their head at that one and saying, you know, thinking I'm going all kumbaya and that this doesn't really matter. For what it does matter. These are the types of things that can, when you play 162 game season and basically everybody wins 60 and everybody loses 60, so there's essentially 40 games on the table that make or break your season. Well, you need to be good in all the small areas, because those small areas, if they account for a win here or a win there, man, that can make a really, really big difference at the end of the day.
Well, Matt, I hope you have a great time while you're down there. Don't forget to call your wife today and tell her how much you appreciate her. I know you will. And we will check in with you later. Hey, if people want to catch your podcast of stuff that's going on, how can they find that?
Yeah, so we got a bunch going on. The Gas House Gang every day is live at 12 noon and then available via podcast. Myself, along with Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas. I do Sports Open Line over on KMOX, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and that's always podcasted via the Odyssey app and at KMOX.com. And you can find links to all that stuff on my Twitter, which is at Matt Pauly on air.
Well, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy spring training, and I hope your Valentine's Day, even though you're all alone down there, turns out to be well.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, thank you. Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it. Hey, Ryan Wiggins is going to join us, and we're going to wrap up. Remember, our Valentine's Day live chat poll is any Valentine's Day plans? I have plans. I don't celebrate. I hate love.
I also need to make sure the word is pronounced fugues. The band is pronounced fugies. And I...
Fugies.
It's a different way of pronouncing it. I have not said that word out loud in quite a bit of time and completely beefed it right here live on the air.
I
apologize to the listeners for that one, but they made sure to say apologize to Lauryn Hill and the Fugees for screwing up their name. I apologize.
I was not going to call that out, and I was just going to let that roll.
Man, no, you got a mea culpa. We're adults here. We can be honest.
You know, it's funny. When that came out, I was the production director at Magic 108 at the time.
And you guys play that song like crazy?
Oh, big time.
Thank you very much for that.
It was huge.
St. Louis appreciated you for that.
There you go. Hey, we're going to wrap up the big show in just a little bit. Happy Valentine's Day. It's Mike Elam in for Eddie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. That's an appropriate song. To do a little My Girl on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. It's funny. So my friend Anna Ault texted me that she and John Dawson and her kids are on their way to Kansas City. They're taking one of their kids and making him decorate. That's just cruel. You shouldn't do that. Like one has one has a competition that's going on. The other one's going to have to decorate. Did I understand that right, Anna? I think that's what you just said. Like I don't know what they're decorating. I didn't get all the details. So she just kind of put that out there. It's been interesting watching people along on the YouTube site here. I talk about this a lot whenever I do this show, but the fannies is what they're called, right? So we call them Manny's today.
Or the Friars.
Or the Friars. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you guys really don't even need the radio show to do your whole community. Like, we kind of start a topic and then you run. And I don't think you really need whatever's going on in the radio for the next 3 hours. They just entertain themselves.
I'm not saying that all, you know, several hundred of the people who get on and chat are a part of this, but they do have parties sometimes.
Oh, really?
As I understand it.
Well, I can see that.
Where they'll get together with, like, election nights and stuff like that. Like, if we're broadcasting, they'll do kind of like a co-party.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the same names that I see every time. So I appreciate the fact, very loyal audience. You guys have great fans who listen to this radio station. So, and especially to this radio show. And I'm sure they miss Annie today. She will be back on Monday, I believe. He said
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Because Monday is a holiday.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's President's Day.
Yep.
A holiday that most people don't celebrate.
We do.
Well, and I'm not doing the show for some reason. So, I'm not offended or anything.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We do a huge celebration at my house.
Really? For President's Day?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I wake up and I walk out to just my kids waving flags. And
that's awesome.
And I don't even try. Like, they just do it on their own.
And you go, man, I miss the old school, like John Adams. You know, he threw down.
A lot of penny and cherry tree kind of activities involving those.
Yeah.
Do you take your kids out to the forest and cut down cherry trees for President's Day?
No, because he was not supposed to do that, so we don't do that either.
Well, and you can't lie.
But we don't lie about it.
Thanks for tracking. I appreciate that. You saw the story about J.B. Prixer saying that he is changing, by proclamation, Lake Michigan to Lake Illinois. His thing was that a great lake deserves to be named after a great state, which would have been fine that he's trolling Trump on the whole Gulf of America thing. But he's trolling also, by default, another Democrat governor. So Gretchen Whitmer said it is named after a great state, and that's Michigan.
It sounds like they're having a little fun.
I think so.
That's so cute. I don't mind an attempt at humor.
That's right.
So the fact that I did not vote for J.B. Prixer is probably well known. But I don't
shocking.
Mind.
Shocking. Amazing.
I don't mind if you try to get a jab in and everything. It's, that's okay. I just don't think that this one was that good.
Well,
I don't think it was
JB.
That funny.
J.B. is a lot of time. He thinks he's funny. He thinks he's very creative, and he's worth $3 billion, so people can't tell him he's not.
People just laugh and be like, pass the wine.
You're so funny. That's great. Chuck Clearin, right?
You know who else does this a lot?
Who's?
Who tries to joke, but just doesn't quite land, and it's never way off. It's just always a little off, is Amy Klobuchar. Of Minnesota. She just can't quite stick the landing on jokes, but she tries a lot.
She does. And she tries to be very personable, but there's just something about her that's like, you don't quite open up. You feel forced.
Yes.
When you're trying to be personable, it feels like you're forcing this out there. Like somebody said, hey, you need to be more human. Like, so let's do this. You know who's doing a great job of humanizing themselves? Elon Musk.
Yeah, because he's kind of not a human.
Well, but he's bringing his kid. So the other day, they're doing this press conference. We talked about how he was there. Will was there. The president. They're in the Oval Office. His kid's running around his legs, And as he's walking through the Capitol from time to time, they show him. And he'll have his kid on his shoulders as he's walking through. It just humanizes him a little bit more. And you go, okay, maybe he's not this billionaire, insert insult here, Because when you see the kid, you're like, okay, he is a dad. Like, there is... Now, he's a creative dad, shall we say. Because he decided to spread the level around quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he should ring all seven of his kids. Yeah.
And all the baby mamas conference. With him.
Yes, like, come every on. Single one.
If I wonder how that's going to work out for Valentine's Day.
Oh, wait, not. I just looked it up and it says seven, but there's other reports that say 12.
Well,
so I actually thought it was higher than that.
I think there's seven moms.
Ah, maybe that's it.
He may have multiple kids.
Maybe that's
from,
it.
I mean, go yeah. figure, having multiple children from the same woman.
Now, People magazine says 12 children.
12 children?
Yeah.
Well, and People's a great resource for stuff like that.
I don't think he's done.
No? You're telling me
the guy who won't stop talking about birth rates isn't done having kids? I'm shocked by that.
I have wondered if his whole take on birth rates being down, and let's change the conversation about this, is because he just has a lot of kids, and it's convenient, and so he's like, well, this is really actually good for the planet.
Well, I was joking with you the other day when we were talking about this, and I said, you know, Elon took that be fruitful and multiply thing. That's his favorite scripture. He's doing it to heart, man. So yeah. He's making that happen.
It's just biblical. He's just trying to follow the Bible, Mike.
He's following the teachings, right? So he's
being a little selective, but...
Wait, there's a lot of people that are like that.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of people that are being selective.
I also feel like in the last 100 years in America, he wouldn't be the first person to use religion selectively to have more kids.
Or what? The first person ever to do that.
Yeah, this is true.
Not just the last 100.
Like, oh, what? We can only do this if we're having kids? Well, I guess we're going to have 14 of them.
Guess we're going to have more. Ethan joins us in the studio. How are you, sir?
Peachy.
Are you doing the big totals to find out?
Oh, they're ready to go.
So, Ryan, we kind of already talked about the fact that you're anti-Valentine's Day, so you're not doing it. Matt, you are celebrating tomorrow because of you're a hardworking young man.
Yes.
Ethan, we didn't talk about your Valentine's plan.
I am celebrating my first Valentine's Day as a married man.
Congratulations.
Set the bar low.
That's
it. I'm telling you right now. And then raise it just a little bit every year.
Hey, he ain't lying.
Should I go... get flowers on the way home.
Wait, you don't have flowers already?
I don't know.
No.
What does she expect?
Dude.
She is about as low-key and chill as it goes. So if I brought them, she would probably be appreciative of the gesture. But if I didn't say anything, she probably wouldn't care.
You got to do
a flower.
A flower.
Yeah. Where do I get a flower?
Street corner. Somebody's selling them.
Dearbert.
In St. Charles?
Yeah. Maybe. I see people
I've
on the
seen
side
it
of the
once in yeah. St. Charles.
Okay.
One time.
Look for that guy.
Go to Dearburg's or Schnucks and there'll be something left over. Just don't bring her the ones that are like all the brown black edge roses.
No, the like partially wilted ones?
Yeah.
Don't do that?
No. I mean, that may be all you find at this point by the time you get there, but you know.
They keep that rotation going. They'll be there some there.
Russell says you should bring White Castles.
White Castles?
Yeah.
Geesh, that is like a... I mean, we're going to talk about setting the bar low. Like, that is like, in my opinion, like bottom of the level of fast food restaurants.
Good tip for you. Jackie says Whole Foods has great flowers.
Where's a Whole Foods? Brentwood?
There ain't one in St. Charles. So, you know.
Too far away.
Hit the Schnucks.
It's all good.
I don't recommend doing like White Castles and chili and burritos on Valentine's night.
We're going to Dewey's for dinner.
Oh okay. Great. So there you go. Yeah. You didn't lead with that.
I think are we just going to let Ethan get by just saying that White Castle's like the bottom rung of fast food?
It's always there for you. I don't know.
How dare you, sir?
To Ryan's point, man, set the bar low. So how's our results?
Result time. 171 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll, which asks, do you
not
have any Valentine's Day plans? 47% say I don't celebrate it. 44%
nice.
Say I have plans. And 9%, a very sad 9%, hate love.
Well, it goes back to Ryan's poll earlier in saying that, 13% or 12% hate love. So there you go. Hey, it's been fun hanging out with you guys. We will see you soon. Happy Valentine's. Enjoy your weekend. And we will see you soon on The Annie Fry Show. Mike Elam on 97.1 FM Talk.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment.
Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.